If you have your Bibles and would like to open them to Jonah, the third chapter, this morning we will be reading 3, 1 through 10. You know, as we take a look at Jonah and we continue, I continue to see myself in Jonah more than I really had given maybe credit to. I'd like to think of myself as Peter, but I think I'm Jonah. Is where I think I'm at, because everything Jonah's done, I have done as well. And I think there's lots of us that have. We've all decided to do things our way. We've all decided to make other plans instead of listening to what the Lord might have us to do. So we know that Jonah is been spit out of the whale, as Brian was talking about, or out of the fish, or whatever you want to call it. It might have been a sea monster. I have no idea, and nobody else does. But whatever it was, we know that Jonah has been spit out and landed on the beach. And can you imagine what he must be thinking? Golly, Bill, I've been thrown overboard. I thought I would die. Here comes this thing. It swallowed me. And I've been in his belly now for 3 days, and I could probably eat something. And here he is, he spit me out on the beach, and I'm, you know, what in the world? So here we go. And then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. I don't know about y'all, but the Lord has spoke to me the second time many times. I have been blessed. He has offered me more than two chances. But, folks, I would tell you this. Never think that you will get 3, 4, 5, 6 chances, because you may not. When the Lord speaks to you, you need to respond, because that chance may go away and it never, ever come back. But it tells us in Jonah, the third chapter, that first verse says, "Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time, 'Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh, and deliver the message I have given you.' This time, Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed.' The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne and took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in burlap and sat on a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city: 'No one, not even the animals from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind and hold back his furious anger from destroying us.' And when God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened." This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What a story of repentance. What a story of second chances. You know, folks, this is God's grace just pouring out upon these people. And he pours that grace out upon us today, the very same way. You know, God, he has offered Jonah. Now he's on the beach and he's come up on the shore and he's saying, "Jonah, I'm not giving you a 30-minute message that you've got to preach to the people in Nineveh. I'm going to give you about one sentence. In 40 days, this place is going to come to a close. It's going to be destroyed. In 40 days, does that recall anything in your mind? 40 days it rained, you know, 40 years the Israelites wandered in the wilderness. 40 days Jesus was tested. And yet we see the 40 days here as well. They did not know about Jesus at that time, but that 40 days rung a bell with them, I guarantee you, because they knew the Old Testament. Nineveh, I don't know. You know, I see some old pictures of Nineveh. It was probably a beautiful city from what I can see. The gate of the old Nineveh gate appears to be beautiful, if these pictures are correct. Who knows, but maybe they are. And if it's this pretty and it's this corrupt, why would God want to save these people? You know, why? Why not just let Jonah have his way and just destroy this place if it's that bad? This was a huge city, folks. It was something like 175,000 inside the wall, and the wall was an 8-mile circumference. So it wasn't small. It took 3 days to see it. This was a large place. And so you stop and you think about Jonah and how he disliked these people. Outside this wall, this place continued without a wall, the way I read it and the way I understand. It was a huge metropolitan area, we would call it today. And maybe some 600,000 people lived in and around this place, from what I can gather from some of the things that I read. It was huge, folks. And Jonah knew and understood that this place was corrupt. But also God knew that this place would become the capital of Assyria people. And he was trying. God wanted these people to be godly people. He wanted these people to, as we read in the old Jeremiah verse a while ago, he wanted these people to know him, and he wanted these people to have this message in their heart about who he was. Second chances. I'd say probably when Nineveh first came to be that they knew about God and they knew more about him than they were acting like they did. Does that ring a bell with anybody today? When we as a country, America, came to be, we respected God. We knew about God. And our documents were written with God all in them. And today we act like we don't even know what they're talking about when we talk about God in the presence of most people. Even if we do, we don't claim it. And so we're seeing that Nineveh is not a whole lot different than some of our cities in America in general, because we have turned away just as Nineveh turned away. We've turned away, folks, and yet we still want the blessings of God each and every day. You know, I told Tammy this morning coming to church, I was watching a video fishing video last night, and this one dude, he's pretty crazy, and Ross don't like him, but I like him because he fishes like I like to fish, and I watch him, Randy. He's old school fisherman. But he said at the end of this video last night, he said, "Listen, folks, we're in a mess." He said, "We're in a mess." But he said, "Listen to me." He said, "God knows. God has this. There's nothing we can do but pray to God and let him worry about everything that goes on in this world." God has this, folks. We see that this was the way that the king, when he heard what Jonah was saying, he said to the people, "Put on your sackcloth. Put on your sackcloth and go and lay in the dust. Set in the dust. Put ashes on your head. Do whatever you want to do. But we're going into a state of mourning. And we're not going to feed any cattle, we're not going to feed anything, and we're not going to eat ourselves. We're going into a time of fasting." Now, do you think if we said today that that was what was going to happen, if somebody got on TV and said, listen, folks, we're going into a state of mourning. We're going to put on burlap and ashes on our head, and we're going into a time of fasting. We're not going to be eating or feeding anything. We're going to be concentrating on repentance. We're going to be concentrating on the Lord. People would laugh. They would think we was crazy. And yet, that's what it's going to take for the world to come back to the place that we used to be. But that's what the king said. He said, we are going to go into this mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God, and they must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind, hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. Well, God has changed his mind a few times. He has said a few things that he would probably do. You remember the first thing was he said he was going to destroy all the people. I think that's in Genesis 7. He said he was going to destroy all the people. And all the animals, even the little animals, he was destroying everything that he created because everybody was corrupt. He said everything's went to south. They're not living like I intended for them to live. And then what happened? He found favor with Noah. We know that story. We know that he found favor with Noah and told Noah to go ahead and build the ark. And we know how the people laughed at Noah when he built the ark. We know that everyone thought that Noah was crazy. Well, folks, when Jonah entered into the city with this message, in 40 days, these walls will come down, this city will come down, everything's going to be destroyed. We know that when the king heard and the people heard this message, that they reacted right then. They did not wait. Jonah had waited. We know that how he should have done this before he had to go through all these troubles that he's had. But folks, that's the way we are as Christians. We hear God's message to us as to what we need to do. We hear that message very plain, and yet we wait. I did. I was the worst. The very worst. Paul did. It was like God had to get his attention to make him do the things that he wanted him to do. He will get our attention, folks, but we have to know that when we hear him speak to us through that still small voice, just as he did to Jonah, that we need to respond. You know, Communion Sunday is the best time in the world for us to stop and to think about our sins, to make that confession. It's the best time in the world for us to think about Jonah and how he responded versus how God wanted him to respond. I think about Jonah in a lot of ways, folks, and I think about myself. And these people that Jonah did not like, he didn't like them because they were arrogant. They were all about themselves. They were very self-righteous, I guess. Maybe they thought, or maybe Jonah was, you know. That's what you have to stop and ask yourself. Because Jonah probably thought that he was actually better than these people, and that he did not need to even associate with these people, much less try to bring them a message that would cause them to repent. Do you ever deal with people like that? Do you have people in your life or in your workplace or in your home that you just soon not talk to them about the Lord or nothing? because they're not gonna pay any attention. But you never know. You never know what you might end up, the difference you might make in someone's life. Jonah went on, brought this message, and little did he expect, he didn't think they would pay attention, but little did he expect, they responded. And they responded well. Folks, I hope as we think about our sins, and you think about yourself as being more righteous than the one sitting next to you, or the one that lives next door, or the one that you have to work with. You can think about this in a lot of different ways, because I know how it is to have these people that you think in your life that you think, I just soon, Lord, not to have to deal with them. I just soon that you put me in a place or put them in a place where I don't have to deal with them. They're so hard to deal with, and they're getting worse every day. I know. I've been there. And yet, when we see these people, do we go home at night? And do we pray for them? Do we ask that God would allow them to repent of their sin? That they would have the same, that they would have the same blessings that we would receive? Do we? Probably not. Because we set our heads and we set like, I know there's not many of y'all around here that's ever worked a mule, but when you're working a mule with a set of reins and you got whatever you're doing with that mule and he sets his head, sometimes it's just that away. You're not going to change it. And sometimes I think that's the way that we are. I think we make our mind up, we set our face in one direction, and it will not change. But we know that the people of Nineveh, they repented. Jonah brought the message he was supposed to bring. He done everything that God asked him the second time, but he still wasn't happy about it. He was very much unhappy. And we're going to hear that next week. Brian will speak to us about how Jonah reacted. When the people began to repent and everybody came and everybody was happy that Jonah come to tell them what God had told him. They were very happy that he hadn't destroyed them. And they repented of their sin and God saved Nineveh. And Jonah was mad. And that's where we'll start next week. He was mad. We see that so much, folks, in the world that we live in. God's grace, it is so, so real, so abundant. He offers it to each and every one of us. And we accept it most of the time. We love His grace that's poured out upon us. But we, a lot of times, not all time, but a lot of times, we do not like for God to pour that same grace out upon our neighbor. Because I don't want them to receive it, Lord. How do you think He thinks about us when we have those thoughts? Lord, I'll take all the grace that You give to me. I'll take all that loving that You give to me. I'll take all of that feeling of You wrapping Your arms around me that You can give to me. But I don't want You to fool with my neighbor. These people are crazy. And that's how we actually think, and yet we call ourselves Christians. Folks, I hope we think about it as we come to the communion table today. I hope that we stop and we think about our sins and how we look at ourselves as being more righteous than the other person. There's a whole lot of things to think about when we think about Jesus Christ, when we think about that death, burial, and resurrection. It's easy for me to criticize my neighbor. It's hard for me to see my sin. It's easy for me to criticize anyone. But it's so hard for me to see my sin. Just think about that this morning as we prepare to come to the communion table. Jonah, he should have been the one that understood this more than anyone. But folks, Jonah struggled with all of this. He really did. And we're going to see next week how he responded. And I hope, as we come to the communion table today, I hope that we don't respond like Jonah did, mad at the whole free world. So as we stop and we think about it ourselves, I'd like for us to take just a minute or two to reflect upon our own self. You know, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 11 that we need to examine ourselves as we come to the table. We need to think about ourselves, not about your neighbor. We need to think about ourselves before we come to this table. And then, as we take just a couple of minutes for reflection and confession, we will have the Lord's Prayer, and then we'll have the breaking of the bread and the cup. Let us stop for just a moment. Let us all say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. I'll ask Brian to come and help me serve this morning, as we know that the Lord's Supper is an opportunity, folks, for us to come to the table to experience the body and the blood of Christ. Paul was telling us in 1 Corinthians 11 that he was had received the opportunity to tell the people and to offer this to the people from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That is so, so awesome. And me and Brian are here today to offer to you what God has offered to us. We offer back to you, folks, and show you that grace that he gives not to just me and Brian. He gives it to every one of us. But we need to examine ourselves. We need to think about ourselves. We need to stop and consider everything that goes on in our hearts, because God knows our hearts. That's for sure. Brian, if you would, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke the bread. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you." He gave thanks for the bread to the Father. Likewise, he took the cup. And he said that this is the cup of the new covenant between God and his people. An agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. So as we take the bread and the cup, Brian,
let's partake together, church.
Let's all partake together as we take the bread. Praise be to God. The body of Christ broken for you, Brian. The blood of Christ shed for you. Let us have a prayer of thanksgiving. Father, we thank you so much for your son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming and being obedient to the Father, living and dying upon that cross. We thank you for the resurrection, Father, for we know that through that death, burial, and resurrection, we have eternal life. We thank you. Father, we just could never praise you enough for the hope that we have through that death. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you understood and knew that we needed to come closer to you than just maybe gathering, that we needed to commune with you through this body and blood, and you offered it to us. We thank you so, so much. We ask each and everything in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come for the song of response this morning, I'd say if there's anyone that has any need whatsoever, folks, we don't want you to go home without coming and us praying about it and finding that need and finding an answer to that need today. There's so many times that I have sat right where you're at, and I needed to respond, and I didn't. And I ask today, if your heart is heavy, to please come and talk to the Lord.